My Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than he,' and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Moses gave the people the law of God, not Moses' law, but the law of God. The law of God instituted by God for the good of the people. Law given by God is always for our good. And why? Because God is good. By nature, he is good. He is goodness itself. He only desires good for us. And so he makes his laws in conjunction with his own being, his being of goodness, which he desires for all people. When he created us in his divine image and likeness at the beginning of creation, God has destined human beings for life. Life in him, life in God, life in a very divine, special way. Moses, in speaking to the people, said, "Fear the Lord your God and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I have enjoined on you, and thus have long life." The promise of long life is what the people knew from the Lord, and the Lord kept his promise, and the Lord keeps his promise. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. There is no other God." There is no other God. "And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Take these to heart. Take these words to heart, which I enjoin on you today. And not one thing has changed in the law. The law of God stands today as firmly as it stood at Sinai when he first encountered this people and chose them for himself, the people of God. Jesus today is asked by a scribe, that is, a person who copies the religious texts, who copies the court documents, who copies text from one parchment to another parchment. That is how the law and records were kept. You had someone who knew how to make the letters, who knew how to read. That does not necessarily ensure understanding. But what does Jesus say at the end of that reading? He says, Jesus saw that the scribe answered with understanding. So he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." How can we understand God? Is it possible? The infinite, the omniscient, the omnipresent, the all-powerful, good God who loves us, even though he is so far superior over us, that some would say, why would he bother to even look at us? He must think of us as ants or wasps or annoyances. But that's not the case. The God of love who created this world and created men and women in his own divine image said he looks out on the world and it is good. He says the creation is good. And why is it good? Because it was created by him for his glory and for ours. And it is for especially for ours. He did not need the world. He did not need us. He does not need our praise. He desires to share with human beings his own divine image and likeness. So when it is said, he is one and there is no other than he, we should fear the Lord. We should revere the Lord. He's so much greater than us. How do we get to him? How do we come to him? Jesus tells us to take up our crosses daily and follow him. We need a guide. We can't go on our own. We can be on a journey, but we can be lost because there's so much to distract us in this world. We might find things to be very interesting over there, or over there, or back there, or over here. And we might not pay attention enough to God, who speaks to us on a daily basis, who comes to us, and who takes care of us, and gives us grace upon grace upon grace. Doesn't he ever get tired of that? We come, we're baptized as little children or as adults, and our parents make promises for us, or we make promises of our own. The promises are broken, and we come to the sacrament of penance, and we receive God's mercy and love and forgiveness, and we get to start again. Start again, and little by little, as he gives us more and more grace, we become more of his divine image and likeness. But doesn't he get tired of that? The answer is no. Because we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, who offered himself, his very self, his lifeblood, on Calvary, on that cross, who hangs there perpetually, and who makes intercession before God his Father for our sins and the sins of the whole world. What does this writer in Hebrews say? We have a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens, who has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once when he offered himself. It's very interesting, and sometimes we may tend to forget this during Holy Week when we have the solemn passion narratives read to us. Jesus died on Good Friday. But on Thursday, he met with his disciples in that upper room, and he gave them then and there his body and his blood sacrificed for the life of the world. How does that work? Before he died, he gave his body and blood in sacrifice. And he said, take this, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is my blood for the salvation of the world. He would not be dragged off to the cross before he gave to his disciples the reality of his body and blood, the reality of his sacrifice. And thus he instituted a perpetual sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We know these things. We understand these things. But each day, we can understand them even better as we study his word, as we listen to his scriptures, as we come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass. Those who come each day have a rich banquet of scripture read to them. Those who come each day are encountering Christ more and more. All who come each and every Sunday encounter his word and they go away. What does Jesus say to us? He says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." He knows our mistakes. He knows our sins. He knows our problems. But he also knows that he has loved us from eternity. Before we were conceived in our mother's wombs, he knew each and every one of us by name. He knew our destinies. He knew who we are to become. And he helps us each and every day to become who we truly are. As we configure ourselves more and more into his image and likeness, as we become more and more like him, as we carry our cross more and more each day, we should be experiencing something truly marvelous, because God did not create us for some type of subservience. He created us to find glory in Jesus Christ. Glory which was the glory of the Father's, glory which is God's. "Whoever loves me will keep my word," says the Lord, "and my Father will love him, and we will come to him."